And we're back. Welcome to Deep Thinking, the only motorcycle road racing podcast devoted to the idea that road racing by the people, for the people, and of the people shall not perish from the face of this earth. He's Ed Sorbo from Lindemann Engineering. You can find him on the web at le-suspension.com.
I believe it was 240 years ago that was said.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened to the four score?
Well, it was four score and seven, and I checked it as 240.
Why did who came up with score as a term?
That was a way of counting stuff that was more common. Used back then. I actually have the Gettysburg Address on a file on my desktop, and I like to read it out loud.
Really?
It's great. Everything is there. A great president, a great leader, a great problem to solve, great words. The guy actually thought, right? He said, people will not long remember, or something.
Not long remember what we said here.
But right. It turned out to be that we totally did. Hey, this is show number 70.
70, is it 70? 71.
71. 71. Yep, the show after number 70.
Correct. Well, nice recovery.
And
Ed,
you're Michael Gugis. And we are at Vegas Classic Course. With Wira.
We have to find, you can find me on the web at motorbikeroadracing.blogspot.com. And it's important to note because I'm shooting pictures from Las Vegas Classic course. Wow, you can see the tentacles hanging out. Okay, how many things?
So it's a GSXR street bike,
right,
with a loud
open pipe.
It's making that much noise as he cruises along at 30 miles an hour.
Now we're like 100 miles away.
Motocross style helmet with a big visor with the GoPro on his head.
Was it a GoPro?
While
was it a
riding
Mohawk?
On the street. It may have been both a GoPro and a Mohawk.
I may have been a Mohawk GoPro,
yeah.
Which is double fail. Anyway, I'm shooting pictures, so you can find my pictures from this weekend if you are interested in purchasing them at motorbikeroadracing.smugmug.com. I'll have them uploaded sometime this week. Hey, Ed, you have the Gettysburg Address. Do you know what I have downloaded, printed out, and in a little shrine in my bookshelf to motorcycle road racing?
I don't know, but I have a Magna Carta in my trailer.
We all have that. I made a joke about it 3 years ago in the track day directory. I have a copy of the speech from Mr. Honda himself, the one that he gave to his employees back in the 50s when he announced that they were going road racing and they were going to kick the world's ass. I still get goosebumps when I think about it. With every screw you put in, you represent everything that Japan stands for, or words to that effect. And it's just like,
you know, that's interesting, right? Because
what?
Their country, like Germany, did bad shit as a country,
mm-hmm.
right? And of course, it wasn't all the people. It was the government and some of the people. And those people felt like, we got to kind of make up for this after the fact, right?
Well,
they felt some guilt for it, and they mostly did a good job of it.
Well, I don't know.
Hey,
where are
we drinking?
No,
what are we drinking?
We're drinking chocolate soy milk. Why?
Because Lester here liked, and he's actually here right now.
Yeah, Lester's
right there.
Here, right? He's giggling.
Right? He liked my Deep Think
Tribal Knowledge
book on the website. And said, I want to give you something for all the help. What do you drink? And I said, chocolate milk.
Ed.
And he delivered it here at the track.
Who edited Tribal Knowledge?
A number of people, including you. Thank you for the help.
Who did the final edit on Tribal Knowledge?
I hate to tell you, I think I lost that. And I posted up the one before.
Oh, you are kidding.
No, I think that's why
all that work?
Yeah.
Oh, my
bad.
God. You better lock the door of your motorhome tonight. An inappropriate event with a wrench. Jesus Christ. The cool thing, isn't it? Tell me why Lester needed to read Tribal Knowledge.
Because he has a GP bike.
Yes,
he races a RS125.
Right.
Yeah, a real
very cool
manly bike. He doesn't need 700 horsepower to go fast.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, God damn it, it's nice to see one of those things out here.
Remind me, I got to find out the name of that guy who's the expert pipe fixer for you.
Oh, you mean the dude out in Hemet?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember.
No, not
name.
That guy. It's a different guy.
That guy
stopped doing it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He retired.
Oh, bummer.
So, what's going on in the world in Argentina today?
Wait, why don't we talk about Vegas first?
You told me to stop talking about Vegas.
To stop talking about Vegas before we can get more information about me.
So we're at
Michael
Vegas
Gugis.
With Wira West, Classic Course.
Right. Beautiful day. Ridiculously
fantastic,
nice day.
Nice.
It's
perfect.
Just, it's
low
silly.
80s.
Exactly.
No wind.
No, it's beautiful.
Now it's a nice part of the, we finished
afternoon.
Early today and didn't have any problems. We didn't have a single red flag.
No red flags today? It was
nice day. Very few crashes. Two crashes, maybe?
Two crashes.
We had two guys in one race who ran off in turn two.
Okay.
And they just said, yeah, that's cool. And then they drove through the dirt on the gas, like making a rooster tail, like making time,
right,
over to turn five, and just jumped back on the track and just kept going. Like, it was so blatant that I had the job of stopping them when they came off the track to say, you know, we docked you a lap. And they're both like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, we know. did you see the rooster tail we were throwing up?
It was a great lap time. What you're supposed to do is, as safely as you
Excuse
can, bearing in mind you slowing down and turning in the dirt safely,
right,
and not cutting back in front of people. You don't have to come back on exactly the place, but you got to not be in an advantage. You got to come back on close to where you reasonably can,
right,
without interfering with the other people who didn't make a mistake.
And the way to make this work is that not only do you not gain an advantage, but you clearly and obviously don't gain an advantage. You don't want it to ever be a question as to whether or not you
right?
got an
you
advantage.
You made a mistake and you didn't get hurt. You didn't fall down because there was runoff room.
Congratulations,
you know,
right?
Get back on the track.
Well, this is something that was mentioned to you earlier. The whole headache with the... oh, look, more posers.
You know what, though? These guys are dressed properly. They got helmets. They go on the speed limit.
They're dressed properly.
Well, they got long pants. They're not wearing jackets. I mean, I'm sorry.
I'm seeing shirt sleeves.
Yeah, fine. But they got shoes on. They're not wearing slippers. Yeah. They're going the speed limit.
Yeah, right.
Which is better than you and I can say. Okay.
Right? I made it here. I rode from L.A. to Vegas this morning, and I made good time. What was I going to say? You know what was wrong with them? No bimbo on the back.
A JSXR is made for a bimbo on the back. Racing. Okay, right, your point about getting back on the track.
We were talking about the Moto 2 jumpstart fiasco in Qatar. And you know, part of the headache was that they were penalizing guys who got like hundredths of a second.
Small.
And they were and the argument was cuz now the rule is if you move but then you stop, and then you're not stopped. You're stopped when the lights actually go out. Then there's no penalty as long as you didn't get an advantage. And it's just, you know, if you screw something like that up, you know, you take off, and then you make sure a few people go by you. You know, when you have to drop a place, you make it really, when you do something that might result in a drive-through penalty, if you don't drop a place, you make it really obvious. You sit up on the straightaway, pull off the line, wave at people as they go by.
I think we made our point in a previous podcast that was a disaster all around.
Yeah.
You know, and they shouldn't have enforced the rule when they caused the problem.
Yeah.
Right?
I think
that's one of the things I love about Wira. Those guys that cut the course.
Yeah.
I went up stairs to say, hey, how come we're not meatball flagging these guys?
And we're
okay?
On, we know.
Well, here's the thing is, you already docked them a lap.
Right.
If you do the meatball procedure, yes, it's public and all the other guys knows, okay, those guys got busted for what they do,
right? Right.
But we can tell them that when they come in. Furthermore, having somebody come in on a hot pit lane potentially endangers other people.
Yes.
What we had now, right, the guy cut the course, he got back on, he kept going. There's no problem now.
Right.
Let's not make a problem. So in other words, Wira is able to think on their feet and go, okay, this is the appropriate way to deal with this version of this problem. Because you can't write for every freaking thing. You got to have judgment.
And it's a club race.
And it's a club race, exactly.
Not that big a deal.
And they got penalized. And we told the other people who were concerned, no, don't worry. That's fine. And it was actually funny, right? Because it was so blatant that it made it kind of simple. But my point is, think on your feet.
Right.
People, right? If you try to write a rule where this is how we're going to do it every time, I guarantee you something will happen where that won't work. And then what are you doing?
That's a nice day out here. You know
what? It is a great day.
There's a solid turnout, you know. There's a distinct lack of booty heads.
Yep.
They had a cool...
Tech was smooth.
Yeah, tech went smoothly. They had a cool little... Hi. They had a cool little award ceremony afterwards.
We did really well with that. The Bike 911 guys sponsored a podium.
Yeah.
We have a podium with a backdrop that's up all day with three blank trophies there, so you can come off your race and do a little, get a picture, whatever, if you want. And then at the end of the day, we did the group thing.
It's a
bunch of number one plates from the previous year. I picked up my two.
Yeah.
Oh, and I picked up Tony's. He's got two also.
But the only problem that we've got out here, the only difficulty with this track is it's still a little slick. And we had a resurfacing, plus, and there's a reason I'm mentioning this, plus it doesn't get used that often. So it's a little dirty, and we didn't have a track day. I guess there was no track day
yesterday.
There was
no track day.
So that didn't, you know.
And they ran cars here that blow a lot of rocks and dirt on.
Yep.
So they did it. We have a street sweeper blower thing. He came out and did a really good job.
Good.
They had the perfect guy was driving it. He pulled up. Hey, you know, what do you need done? I said, you know, all the normal spots. He goes, which course are you running? And then boom. Right?
Because
he runs the thing all the time. He knows where it gets dirty, right?
Right.
So that worked out really well.
That's really cool.
So
that's totally cool.
We have a topic that we want to cover.
Right. We have to cover it. We can't avoid it. And it is, of course, closely linked to this idea of the track surface.
Oh, I had a different topic in mind.
What's your topic?
Mine is the counter-steering issue.
Let's do that on the next one.
No, we're going to do that today.
Why are we doing it today?
Because we need to get the word out.
Counter-steering? Are we still arguing about that?
No, we're not.
Is this the flat earth thing?
No. Okay, so let's cover Argentina briefly, because it hasn't happened. We don't know yet.
No, it has happened.
Yes, but it hasn't finished.
Well, okay.
Only practice has happened.
As everybody knows, Michelin has withdrawn all of its rear tires.
They have like an emergency super strong backup tire.
Right.
They're going to use those.
Yeah, which is just, and they give everybody...
Well, okay, it's not great, but hey, check it out. They came with backup tires because
we learned it's
at Australia the previous time nobody tested there, right? And Bridgestone had to do the thing where the guys had to change tires, hit and change bikes
yeah.
halfway through the race, and they had to shorten the race.
Right.
So now, having learned that, you know, there's these extra emergency tires. And the problem is this track is unique. The winner had to run the hard tire last year.
Yeah.
Right. Remember
the very hard tire.
Right. Okay.
Right.
So it's already difficult. And then it turned out nobody used the track at all.
Right.
The whole they don't have a car club. They have nothing.
Testing was rained out. I guess they had hired Colin Edwards to do testing and some other guy. I can't remember who it was. And they mostly sat in the garage.
So they tried to go, but they couldn't.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Which, I mean, I don't care. How much could it possibly cost? The track's fucking empty. It
costs less than what this is costing.
Exactly.
Them, right?
This is going to cost them a pile in terms of publicity. Yeah. I mean, all you got to do is fly a couple of guys over. You've got the bikes. Go, you know. And then, and like I said, this track, and this is something we were talking about earlier, this is one of those genius-ass promotion ideas that I have covered for decades. You have no idea how many times I've seen governments approached by somebody who's got some crackheaded idea. Here's how we're going to make a bunch of money. We're going to put the spruce goose in a dome off the shore of Long Beach.
Well,
and people will flock to see
goose.
It. Right? Oh, God. And you're just like... And then,
so that if you go to Google Maps and look at this track in Argentina, can't find it, right? Like, because you go to Rio de Janeiro and you zoom in until you can see the whole city and you look for the shape of a track.
And there's nothing.
Oh, it's not there.
Right.
It's halfway across the fucking country. There's a little town that takes up 2 pixels.
Right.
Next to it.
Yeah.
Like, you can see from the satellite picture that the track is dirty.
The whole idea.
It's in the middle of a dirt field next to a pond.
Exactly.
Like, what? How did you... Oh, the land was $10. That's why they built it here.
No, they brought it. They brought it in the same reason that Ireland is building that track.
Yeah, that's crazy too, man. Build a fucking factory and make something.
You got to remember, Ireland got burned on that. Remember the DeLorean? This is once again, other people have made large decisions without consulting me and you, Ed, and that's the problem with the world. People don't think. What would Michael and Ed do?
Well, we're just listening to us.
Right.
And look how good it's going.
Yeah, it's gone great so far.
So,
all right, so you got a topic.
So, all the time, you hear people talk about how hard it is to make the bike turn.
Right.
What's the problem? It won't turn. Where? In any turn. Or
right.
In turn two or whatever. It won't turn. What does it won't turn mean?
Okay.
To me, it means I'm going straight, and now I want the bike to lean.
Okay.
But I think part of the confusion for me anyway has been that that's not what people are saying.
No.
They're in the middle of the corner,
mm-hmm.
and there's a comfortable lean angle,
mm-hmm.
and they need more, and the bike doesn't just go there on its own.
Yes.
And so then they want the bike to do it automatically, so they make geometry changes
that
make the bike do that.
And there's another phrase that they use, that people use when that happens. They will say, it won't finish the turn. And that means that if they stay at that comfortable lean angle and do all
start rolling the gas, it starts to run wide.
It runs wide. Duh. Yeah. Okay. So what's the solution, Ed?
So the solution is really difficult. because it forces you to deal with the comfort level issue.
Yes.
This is the thing that is so hard and why people will do crazy stuff. They will raise the back of their bike many millimeters at the shock, which is multiplied by three, by as much as three by the time it gets to the axle. And they will destabilize the motorcycle such that it will tip in on its own.
And then
they won't notice, or they will ignore all the other problems that they now have.
Right.
And since they're not recording their lap times, they don't even know that they're actually going fast slower. But the thing that they were stuck on, which they made into too big of a problem.
Right.
They, like classic, they turned a molehill into a mountain. Right?
Right.
That's fixed and they're all happy.
Yes.
Here's the problem.
Dude, there's a reason that the dolphins are going to take over.
They're. The two most common problems that people who are having this. So if this is you and you're listening right now, and you know who you are,
we're not going
to
name names.
I spoke to you the other day about this.
We're not going to put your picture on the web yet.
Okay. But you know what? We don't have enough space because I. The thing that made me realize what was going on is I remember doing this with my 93 TZ.
Okay,
so my 90 TZ went through the sweeper at Hawaii Raceway Park, no problems. And all the other corners too. I got my 93, and I had to slow down in the middle of the corner to make it go where the 90 went.
Right.
It still worked fine at all the other corners. So I raised the back of the bike two turns. It's really easy to do on a TZ. Okay.
Right.
And it solved the problem, and I was all happy. And I set fucking track records with that bike. And I kicked everybody's ass. I earned 3 number one plates with that bike, racing against unlimited superbikes.
Okay? We're outdoors,
so it works.
And there's not enough room for your ego.
It works.
Okay,
that's
go
the
on.
Dangerous thing about this, okay?
It works. Go
but
on.
The solution is, okay, so the common thing that you're doing if
wait,
you're
wait,
having
wait.
This problem.
If this works, why does anybody not want to do this?
Because it causes other problems. And
did you have other problems?
So when I took that bike to races in the mainland, right? I learned, going truly faster, I learned, oh, fuck.
Right.
I mean, I was running the bike with stock springs. I had way too much preload. That bike literally, completely jumped off the ground at the exit to turn two at Portland. When
awesome.
I was, so make the start, long straightaway.
Right.
And I'm fifth place, and I am in the draft with the 4 leaders, and this is Wira Formula 2. This was, you know, named guys you'd recognize, okay? And I'm with them through turn 1 and 2. All right, this is all good. And now we have to flick to turn 3.
Right.
And my bike jumped off the ground and went wugga, wugga, wugga. It had never done that to me in Hawaii. And it was the load I had in it for the corner releasing with all that preload.
Right.
Right? And it didn't have a long corner like that to load it that much in Hawaii. It was never a problem there. And then when I came back here with that bike, living in my motorhome, racing around the mainland, and started, you know, put the right springs in the bike and all that stuff, and going faster, I learned all this stuff.
Okay.
So you have this problem. Your bike won't turn in the middle of the turn for you.
Okay.
You are not looking far enough around the corner, and you are holding your breath. That is the biggest problem.
Really?
You need to breathe through the corners. And the easiest way to start doing that is to exhale at the entrance to the corner. No one holds their breath when their lungs are empty. We take a breath and we hold it all the way through the corner. And then we breathe on the straightaway. So if you exhale at the beginning of the corner, then you will breathe in at least one time. And that's probably got you like halfway through the corner now. And that's a big improvement.
Right.
And once your body's breathing, it just tends to keep breathing. Once you think about this, I run into people who have this problem. I tell them this trick. This is how I learned how to undo it.
Okay.
They work on it for a day, and then they've got it. They never have the holding their breath problem again.
Okay.
Once you fix this, right, because you want to breathe, right?
Yeah, most of us do.
Eventually, you'll pass out and start breathing again if you don't breathe,
try
right?
Try not to do that in turn 8.
So once you start breathing, all the big muscles in your core are no longer tense.
Right.
Therefore, your arms and your neck will relax, and it'll be more easy to turn your head, because you can get physically stuck. You're all tensed up and you can't turn your head more. You're like a football player with a giant neck, right? Okay? Those are the two biggest things. And then,
go ahead.
If by not raising the back of your bike, by keeping the bike low, by giving yourself trail, you give the bike more stability. The bike is now more of a stable platform. You're more confident.
Okay.
You look farther. And then the force required at the handlebar to make the bike lean more is less than a pound.
And that's
it's not what people say, I can't make it turn. They don't mean they can't physically make it turn.
They can't mentally make it turn.
Somehow.
Yeah,
but it leads to a physical tenseness. Not that the bike won't turn, but that the body won't move.
I'll throw in one other thing on this topic, and it's something that Keith Code said. He said that your body, your knees, your feet, okay, and are the thing that give is and you've said this too. That's where once you've done your steering input,
exactly,
all the other mass, the connection with your body,
the hanging
is
onto
there.
The bike happens with the big muscles in your legs. Because they're stronger and they got more endurance, and they're putting that mass of you into the bike
into the
lower and more centralized. More centralized is the important part. And that just makes everything work better.
And it also means that you're not trying to hold onto the bars with your arms. Yeah. And I notice this at turn two.
Turn two at
Willow Springs.
Yes.
That noise in the background is
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, I know. It's
1 mile away from us on the other sides of a gigantic NASCAR scale grandstands is a drag strip, and the sound you hear, and I know you can hear it,
absolutely,
is fucking Top Fuel cars doing their burnouts and whatever. It's unbelievable.
Some poor sucker's got to yank the heads and cylinders.
Dale Kiefer pulled up yesterday, and I said, dude, what's that noise? And he said, he told me what it was, and to describe the cars, he used the term obscene and epic. That's a pretty good use of the word.
Aren't they up to like 6,000 horsepower on one of those things
fuck
now?
Fuck if I know, man.
You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, I think they need traction control.
I think, no. they actually, they do that with the clutch.
3 seconds
yeah.
to go a quarter mile. That's mind-blowing, right?
Yeah. Wrecks the motor, uses fuel.
One engine per run,
you know. It's just
they don't replace everything, but they changed a lot of stuff. Yeah.
The other thing that Code said was when you find yourself in the middle of like a corner, when you find the ability to just, and I do this, I concentrate on the contact point of my outside knee, the inner part of it with the back of the tank. That's what I focus my mind on. If I do that, I loosen up on the bars, and I'll be damned if the bike doesn't start to carve a tighter arc.
Fine. How many times have we seen bikes where the rider falls off, and the bike just keeps on going, no problem?
Right. The bike has it's
inherently stable.
It's almost like what's happening in the scenario that you're describing is that you've told the bike what to do. The bike wants to do that, and then you're fighting at the bars to keep it from doing that.
You're effectively pushing forward on both handlebars with the same amount of force, and it just goes straight.
It doesn't work.
So,
you know,
the big thing to understand here is you need to relax, you need to breathe, you need to look farther ahead. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is, it's not the motorcycle's job to turn.
Yes.
It's the motorcycle's job to be a stable, predictable platform.
Right.
Imagine you had a painting easel that had only two legs instead of three. How good would your painting be?
It'd be a challenge.
It'd be a disaster, right?
Or,
you know, unless you're the kind of guy throwing paint at it.
Jackson,
you want to,
Pollock.
Right? Okay? Right. That's what you want of your motorcycle. You want it to be stable. Your street bike, you can let go of the handlebars at any time, at any speed, and it just goes straight.
Right.
Right? If it doesn't do that, you need to get something fixed.
Exactly. You need to go to le-suspension.com.
The same thing is true in the middle of a corner. Now, you're not going to let go of the handlebar, although you can see plenty of pictures of instructors demonstrating that to get the point across from you. But your hands should be resting on the bars.
Right.
You should not be hanging onto the bars. You do not pull the brake lever any more than you pull the trigger of a gun. You squeeze.
Mm-hmm.
You don't gas it. You roll the throttle on.
You see everybody.
You ease the clutch out.
Everybody is
all
seeing the picture.
All these terms are gentle, and they talk about there's a duration to them. So I think I made that point.
Everybody,
go give that a try. Understand that the biggest thing you're fighting is you in your mind. It is difficult, but it's not hard.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's simple, but it's hard. And it's just hard
to
overcome
complex,
those mental barriers.
But you are making it harder.
Yeah, you're making it harder.
Everybody, also, don't expect to fix this in one go. Yeah. You've been practicing this, whatever you've been doing for a long time. Give yourself time to make improvements.
Absolutely.
So,
I'm trying to say, everybody has seen the picture of Marquez, mid-corner, elbow down, waving with his other hand.
I haven't seen that.
You haven't seen that picture?
Yeah, you can be damn sure that those guys are not putting energy into the bike when they're riding.
It's all...
I think not a lot of people ride horses in my world, but you know, when you're riding a horse, you don't tell it where to put its feet.
Right.
Right? You just have your hands loosely on the mm-hmm. reins, and the reins are used to, when you come to an intersection, you tell the horse, go left.
Mm-hmm.
And then the, if you, like, rock the hand on, it's going to kick your ass off.
Right.
You're going to be gone, right?
I have had the horse.
Same kind
the
of thing.
The horse does this whatchamacallit, this weight of it versus the weight of you
yeah,
ratio
right? yeah.
calculation.
Did I tell you that I've been through the desert on a scooter with no springs?
Oh,
you guys got to go check out my April 1st blog post, by the way.
Awful.
It's a good one.
It's awful.
You loved it. You helped edit it.
I was going to say, those are the only parts I really like,
yeah.
and the parts that I wrote.
How are we doing on time?
I don't know.
I don't have my reading glasses.
25? 20, yeah, somewhere around there.
Already, let's wrap this up.
Yeah.
We're going to go back to 20 or so minutes, folks, because we used up all our information in 30 minutes.
Exactly.
We decided better to have you drooling for more than to make them too long.
Let's be perfectly honest. This was, you know, this was court-ordered.
We can only tolerate each other for so long.
This is the judge was like, you know what? You have a two-minute board?
You know, I didn't think about anything.
I do.
You know, I got a two-minute board. Look at those mountains right there.
They're spectacular.
Isn't that fucking beautiful?
I love coming to Vegas.
You know, it's not just that the air is clear. It's that there's no full vegetation, right? So the mountain is sharper because it's just rocks.
It's that time of day when the sun is
the perfect spot.
Low in the
sky, got the great shadows.
Beautiful shadows.
And that mountain is farther away than it looks.
Oh, everything in Vegas is farther away than
it
looks. I like.
What's your two-minute board?
I like riding out here. I like riding past here. Last year I went out to the atomic test site.
Right.
You know, and there is an experience where in the middle of nowhere.
What is it, Trinity? Did they make that name up, or did they?
I'm not sure.
Because that's where the place is, right, Trinity?
Well, not not the
kids on pit bikes.
Yeah, kids on pit
bikes. Actual kids.
I don't know. There was a test site. I don't even remember. I know that there was one that they did a lot of shots. 60 miles from Vegas. If you look,
yeah, that's Trinity, isn't it?
I'm not sure. No, that was actually called the Atomic Test Site. It's funny. You can see pictures on the internet, like from the hotels in Vegas, of mushroom clouds.
Yikes!
Right. So, but that,
those people are dead now, anyway.
Not all of them. But that was actually leading to my two-minute board. You know, I rode out here because my I'm not racing this weekend, and I rode out here on a 1998 Honda VFR 800 Interceptor.
Look at that! It has a brake and a dive system.
No, it's not. It's linked brakes. It's linked
no,
brakes.
That little
plunger adds pressure to the rear brake.
Oh, cool! So
yeah.
It uses the leverage of the caliper moving forward to apply your rear brake.
Exactly.
Nice.
Yep. It has a brilliant system for a sport touring bike. Side-mounted radiators, fuel injection, six-speed, single-sided swing arm. This is, and I was just telling Lester before you pulled up, here's why I like this bike. It was the previous Interceptor, or the previous iteration of the Interceptor was a 750. So,
yeah, it was the actual sport bike.
Right.
This is a sport touring.
This is a sport touring bike.
To it.
So there was some market resistance. I'm not sure this one sold really well.
No, it didn't.
I don't think so.
It was a little bit heavy. And
compared to a sport bike, it's heavy.
Yeah.
It's overly sophisticated.
Yeah, like people didn't get it.
It's
they
got
were
a center
trying
stand.
To make a fast BMW.
Yeah,
they're
yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
not an Interceptor anymore. Right?
Yeah, yeah, right? And so, but it was expensive. It was expensive.
Yep.
So the cool thing about it was they got bought.
Gear drive cams, right?
Gear driven cams. Oh, it's, let me put it, Ed, the clock on the dashboard has an AM and PM setting. That's that's Honda for
it's
you.
Analog clock.
Right? And so it got bought by wealthy guys who didn't ride them and didn't abuse them. But because it's not a GSXR or an R1, now those guys can't sell their used ones. I picked this up for a song. It had 1,000 miles a year on it when I got it, and I cannot be happier. And my point is, of course, you do not need to spend a pile of money to have absolutely sublime moments of motorcycling. When I was riding out here this morning, going through a couple of those little canyon passes at about 90 miles an hour.
You didn't come out on the 15?
I did.
Oh, okay. All those canyons.
Yeah, it's just.
Yeah.
But. You know, I've got luggage. I'm doing, like I said, I'm cruising along as fast as I care to go on a highway. It's crisp, not freezing anymore. Sounds beautiful, and I'm just thinking, no matter what bike I've got, it couldn't be better than this moment, right now.
Well, that's what they built that bike for,
yep,
right?
Absolutely. Yep. And it was just, you know what, if you're thinking about riding, but think, oh, I can't afford it, look around a little.
Yeah,
look,
you don't have to buy a brand new bike.
You don't have to spend a pile of money to enjoy most of what we enjoy, and that's why we do all of this, including this podcast. Thank you for listening.
He's Michael Gugis.
He's Ed Sorbo.
Aloha. Aloha.